Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back. It's hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. I'm Lynette. Dr. Mixon here and Dr. Umat and a bunch of phone calls. We're going to get right to them right now. And here is that number so that you can ask the doctors your questions as well. It's 206-421-5757. We're headed to Bothell and Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori.
Hello, Lori.
Lori, speak.
Lori. Okay, maybe Lori will get right back to us. We will have to head to our next caller. Robert, I believe, is on the line from beautiful Golden Gardens.
Hello, Robert.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I recently had a CT scan and a colonoscopy and have some questions about that. But try to talk quickly so I don't hog your program. Just a little backstory. I'm an old fogey like Dr. Mixon. Mm-hmm. I've never been sick, like ever, except I had pneumonia 25 years ago.
Wow.
It took me 5 years to get over that, and it nearly killed me. Mm-hmm. I had COVID, and I had a stent 7 years ago. Outside of that, nothing ever. Okay. But I'm a germaphobe, and I'm paranoid. Every time I get a pain, I run to the doctor. I figure I'm dying. For the last 4 years, I've had loose bowels, and I didn't want to know. But I finally went to the doctor, and they gave me a CT scan. He said to check the pancreas. The pancreas, the CT scan showed that I had a large prostate, 5.3 centimeters transverse, enlarged heterogeneous prostate. I take it that 5.3 centimeters is pretty large. The only other thing that concerned me was this lymph nodes, mildly prominent right lower quadrant mesenteric lymph nodes, maybe reactive, gallstones, 2 millimeters. He said he wanted to take care of those. I don't think I want to mess with those. Outside of that, of the CT scan, everything was unremarkable. The pancreas, the kidneys, the whatever, all unremarkable. Then I went to the colonoscopy. Very proud. I had no anesthesia. They sent the camera down my throat and up my other place. And it took a long time. They sipped about 12 places, took specimens everywhere. Doctor said during the procedure that she saw a lot of inflammation and 2 polyps, which I assume she took out, which she described as very tiny, so I didn't worry too much about those. The operative findings were normal EGD, inflammation in T1, normal colon. The diagnosis was ROH pylori, which means I don't have any, I think. But the things I do have, and why I had the loose stools for so long, I think, it said celiac disease and IBD. My question is, can those be fixed, and what about the prostate?
Wow.
Okay. Oh,
that's a big list. Let's see. What do you want to start with, Dr. Mixon? And Dr. Umat, you want to take a couple of those items in there, too? Yeah.
All right. Should we divvy them up?
Wow. That's a long list. But
yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So
celiac disease, you want to start with that?
Celiac
and IBD,
disease.
Inflammatory bowel disease.
Sure. Well, inflammatory bowel disease and celiac disease often go together, of course.
Absolutely,
because,
yeah.
If he's not tolerating celiac or not tolerating gluten, is what celiac disease is. He's basically, you know.
Well, the good news is it's not a malignancy that's causing the loose stool.
That's right.
The bad news is that's what you were worried about? Yeah.
Yeah, basically it says to be careful with your grain intake.
Right. The chronic, you know, by the definition, it's chronic condition. It's going to wax and wane. You'll have good times and bad times. And sometimes it is triggered by a certain food, and sometimes it's not.
That's right. So, you know, the upper GI stuff is all pretty good. The loose stool is obviously a concern, but you've addressed that. If the colon is clear, the colon's clear. I like that. Mm-hmm. The 5.3 millimeter
prostate.
Centimeter prostate.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little over 2 inches. Mm. Yeah, 2.5 centimeters per inch. And so you got just slightly over 2 inch wide prostate. It's bigger than average. But at your age in the, you know, late 70s is probably pretty much par for the course. The only question is it giving you urinary obstruction? Mm. You know, are you having to get up two, three, four times tonight to pee? If you're able to hold your urine 6 or 8 hours without discomfort and you're only urinating, you know, maybe once in the night and then again in the morning, that's nothing we need to get excited about at this point. Mm. If the prostate impinges on the urethra enough that you start having problems, well, then we may need to do something about it. But for right now, yeah, your prostate's big. It is in the vast majority of men in our age group. You know, so in and of itself, that doesn't worry me.
Okay. What about gallstones?
Well, the gallstones are, again, if they cause problems, you go in and get your gallbladder surgery. But if you've reached this point in life,
yeah,
and you may have had those stones there for 30 or 40 years and they're not causing any grief, mm-hmm, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So true. Right.
Anything else we didn't get on there, Robert?
No, that's just reassuring, and that's what I was looking for. So
okay.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. You take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
All right. We're going to go back to Lori. We got her back on the line. Lori calling in from Bothell. Hi, Lori.
Hello, Lori.
Hi. I don't know what happened.
That's okay. We got you
anyway,
now.
Yeah. My question to Dr. Mixon is, I went into a naturopathic doctor and had my blood work done, and mm-hmm, he said I was low on chloride. One number below the range. Is
okay.
That because of low sodium? And I don't take a lot of salt because of high blood pressure.
No.
And
no.
He said, how do I raise the chloride? He told me to take 1/2 teaspoon of Himalayan pink salt a day, or add the Himalayan pink salt to, like, my broccoli, my peas, my chicken, and everything else.
Okay, my first answer would be repeat the test.
I would say next time you get this metabolic panel done, your chloride would be normal.
That's right. Yeah, the normal,
really?
Yeah,
oh my
normal,
God. Okay.
Normal range for chloride is 96 to 106.
That's right.
So if you're 95.
Yeah, and mine's 95, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at that. Okay, so close.
Yeah, big whoop.
Okay, so nothing to be concerned about.
Nothing to be concerned about.
Not at all.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if our naturopath happens to own stock in the Himalayan pink
salt.
Oh,
the Himalayan.
Yeah. So. Well, I have another question for you.
Okay.
He also did my hormones, and I'm on bioidentical hormones through him, and my progesterone was 0.2,
uh-huh,
and I don't know all these, the follicle phase or postmenopausal phase. I'm 63.
Uh-huh.
So is that low? Is that too low for 63 years old?
It's normal for 63.
Yeah, it's perfectly normal for 63.
It
you
is.
Know,
okay.
Yeah,
so if I came to you, would you up that?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I want to protect
you
your.
Okay.
Yes, I want to give you nice, flexible, pretty skin. I want to lower your risk of breast cancers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got a whole lot of reasons, but and not just progesterone. You know,
yeah.
We would probably end up raising your testosterone and your estradiol, because those two are the reason that you as a woman start getting high risk of breast cancers. You know, we can cut we cut your breast cancer by 98% if we get your hormones where they belong.
My testosterone was 19 on a scale of 3 to 67.
Yeah, and you know, when you were when you were 20 years old, it was up around 75 or 80. and and your risk of breast cancer at that point was almost zero. But now, with a low testosterone, you're up around, you know, 250, 300 cases per 100,000 woman years. So
Well, I'm going to call your clinic on Monday and ask what if I can afford to come to you, because I used to come to you back in, I think, 2012.
Uh-huh.
And it was wonderful. But, we, of course, things got in the way, and I had to remove myself from your clinic.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm going
to
try to come. I know. Now I'm trying to come back. So that's what I want to do.
Well, come on back. We'd love to have you, because
I
want everybody on the planet Earth to be as strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, and happy as we can possibly make them.
I know, and he only does my hormone checks once a year, and I know you do it every 3 months.
Every three months, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, young lady, come on back, and let's see if we can make you happy and healthy, okay?
Yes, okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Very good. Okay, we have room for you if you've got a question. So I'm going to give you the phone number, 206-421-5757. Before we go to break, though, let's talk about Longevity Medical Clinic and why, you know, when people call in, they're like, this is what's going on with my life. Can you help me? I love it because immediately you jump on there going, yes, we can help you. We want to raise that. We don't want you to be normal. No, we want you to be optimal, right, Dr. Mixon?
Normal was great when you were 18.
Yeah, and even then it was...
By 40 and 50, normal's got serious drawbacks. And by 70, normal stinks.
Yeah.
Because really bad stuff is happening to you, and it's perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make it good.
No.
Normal just means it's happening to everybody at your point in life, but that does not make it good. There's nothing good about your bones thinning out. Your skin sagging, you know, your prostate enlarging, your breasts increasing the risk of cancers. There's nothing good about getting slow, fat, weak, dumb, and sexless. And that's the typical, quote, healthy, normal person over 50.
Yeah.
So why on earth would we put up with it if we don't have to?
Yes.
But, you know, Jerry, the other thing, too, is what this lady just highlighted is that a lot of people out there will do bits and parcels of things to help people. And they may be a little bit cheaper in that way, but it's not a holistic approach. And that's the problem. You know, people will say, well, I'm getting bioidentical hormones. Well, yeah, but people have had access to that for the last 25, 30 years now, and there's a lot more than just bioidentical hormones that need to attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes some people don't even need all the hormones. They need bits and parcels of things. And if you're not checking frequently, you just don't know what they need.
That's right. Well, and the problem was 26 years ago when I started the clinic, the hormones were cutting edge.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were one of the few people out there doing a comprehensive hormone program. But that is still our base therapy, but it's the simplest starting point.
Yeah.
And there's so much more we can do now. You know, now we've got things like the anti-senescent cell therapy to get rid of those cells that are inhibiting your growth and healing and repair. We've got things like the rapamycin. We've got the exosome therapies. And pretty soon, we'll probably be trying to regrow your thymus and reboost your immune system back into
healthy
levels.
Well, you see, that's the thing, right? At 63, the thought that I want people to think about is, you still got 30, 40 years ahead of you.
Yes.
I'd rather make that 50.
Yeah, it's not just another few years, you know. There's a lot of life to live, and there's a lot we can do to make it a good life.
Yes.
Absolutely true.
And we're going to tell you what you can do about that in just a moment. Grab a pencil and paper if you need it, and stay tuned. And if you'd like to call us with your questions, phone lines are all open for you at 206-421-5757. Don't wait till the end of the show. Call right now. We'll be right back.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good. I got you.
Wow! Oh, boy, to see Dr. Mixon's moves there. Yeah, pretty soon you'll be able
to
do
that. Dancing.
Yes, you do. We love the music on the show today. Oh, so much fun. I feel good. And that's what we want you to feel at Longevity Medical Clinics. Three clinics for you. Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. And if you're not a patient, we want you to come in. Dr. Umet, you have so many success stories where people become patients, literally crawling in at some points, or just so tired and exhausted. And you've seen some huge transformations.
You know, I have, and my best part of the day is spent with my patients. They inspire me. And in fact, I learn from them because they'll come and ask me stuff or tell me stuff. But every week, this joy in hearing their stories, and people do go through challenges in life. Mm-hmm. But the point is, how do you handle the challenges? How do you deal with it? And as you're getting older, it becomes harder and harder. This week, you know, there was this couple. Actually, Dr. Mixon, they've been in this practice longer than I've been here. They were your patients.
Oh, wow.
From a very long time ago. Both husband and wife, I've been taking care of them for many years. And I was watching a little bit of a decline in his health. And I was a little worried. Mm-hmm. But he was adamant that he wasn't going to do anything about it. He was like, I will not go to the specialist. He was a little mad at me because I suggested it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that. Why are you on making, who said I have to do this? And I just looked at him and I said, well, you know, you may not think this is treatable, but it is. And I'm telling you it is. And think about your wife for a minute, right? How your health is deteriorating, you're not taking any action for it, which can reverse this. And if you did, which would be a simple fix, it's not a difficult fix, it's a simple fix, it would enhance the quality of your life and would make an impact on your wife, who's so worried about you all the time. And he took it to heart. Mm. And now, this week I was looking at that. I was reminding them, like 2 years ago, he was on a downward trajectory and I was worried. Renal function was compromised. Lipid profile was bad. Sugar profile was bad. Muscle mass was dwindling. And now he took heed to that. He went to the specialist. One drug is all we needed for him to take, and he wouldn't take it.
Wow.
And I needed some investigations done, and he got them all done. He got the clearance, and now renal function's better, his muscle mass is improving, his lipid profile is better, sugar is better, his cognitive health is better, and he's back on the upward trajectory again. But we were slipping and sliding for a while, and it was like, come on, do this with me.
Wow.
This is the frustrating thing, that we know how to make people so much better.
Yeah.
And give them joy and enthusiasm and the ability to go out and live their life and just existing.
Right.
And trying to convince them to do it.
Right.
You know, we're here on the radio talking to people, and of the thousands of people we're listening to, you know, maybe two or three are going to say, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to come
and do that.
Something about it.
Yeah.
And most people, for some bizarre reason, are willing to convince themselves that their downhill slide is okay.
Yeah.
And it's fine. And there's not a problem. And I don't need help.
It is what it is.
Right.
And I'm just saying, well, if you're getting slow, fat, weak, dumb, and sexless is what you want out of what's left of your life, fine.
You will succeed at that.
You'll succeed. You're doing a fine job of that. Mm-hmm. You know. But if you want to get out and run and jump and leap and cavort and sing and dance and enjoy life again and get that enthusiasm back you used to have as a younger person, you need to come see us because it can be done.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes. Well, all you have to do is pick up the phone and say, okay, I want to come in. I want to check out Longevity Medical Clinics, Tacoma or Linwood or the brand new beautiful clinic here in Kirkland upstairs. Wow. Just pick up the phone and make an appointment for that free health analysis. It's just two simple tests, a blood test and an in-body test that will give the doctors so much information and let them know what you are at risk for, potentially down the road. Things like Alzheimer's, things we talk about on the show all the time, cancers, heart disease, diabetes, sexual dysfunction, and so much more. It will let them know what's going on with your body, and we can take another blood panel, get so much more information, and then take it from there and move forward with the help of the wonderful doctors at Longevity. But you got to take that first step and give us a call. 866-86-YOUNG. That's what you call. Yeah. And if you've got a fancy phone or just a cell phone, you can actually talk that into your phone and it'll dial us up. 866-86-YOUNG. We'll get you right to Longevity, or you can go to our website and you can sign up there, pick a day and a time that works best for your busy schedule. We'd love to meet you here at one of our clinics. Simply go to our website, lmclinic.com. All right. We are going to talk to somebody who wanted more information about becoming a patient. So let's talk to Lena in Kent. Good morning, Lena.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you?
Tall, brilliant, incredibly handsome, right? And delusional as hell.
Dr. Mixon is great. And yes, we can hear you, Lena. You're interested in becoming a patient. So the doctors are here. What can we help you with?
Yes, I am. I don't have a smartphone, and I've never been what I would call an academic. The medical facility that I belong to, they wait till you get sick and then they do something about that, but they don't give a full evaluation of where you're at. I don't know how to ask for that. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what I need to be tested on. I did have three stents on the right-hand side of my heart. And since then, having been on atorvastatin, metoprolol, and I forget the other one, losartan. Anyway, after being on those since 1918, my
2018,
general
I'm sure.
condition is not good. And fatigue and muscle discomfort and I developed high sugar, which I did not have at the beginning of that. So I don't feel like I'm getting what I would say full care, and I don't even know how to ask for it. Can you give me some guidance?
Wow.
Well, yeah. And the problem is that you're in a medical care system that is designed to treat disease, not optimize health. And those are two very different functions.
They're offering you the pharmacy and the knife, and they limit it to that.
Yes.
Right.
And, you know, and this is what Medicare approves, and this is what the, you know, the government bureaucrats have decided you need. We, on the other hand, don't do that. Our function is to prevent disease and to correct the underlying problems that are causing diseases. And so, you know, we're treating the normal but undesired changes of aging. Mm-hmm. And so we have a very different approach. Now, the downside of what we do is that because we are not doing what the government has decided needs to be done, that is, treat your diseases once they develop, Medicare and the insurance companies don't cover what we do. Mm-hmm. So the feeling is that maintaining your health is your issue. Treating your diseases is theirs.
You know, in medical school, I don't remember our single class on nutrition and health maintenance.
No, no, not a thing.
Therein, you just mentioned something that they did not tell me how to handle. Apparently, with the statin, I also needed
CoQ10,
an antioxidant, I guess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so not having done that, I feel like that has been the source, because I didn't know how much, I didn't know how important it was. They didn't tell me, it's just like I heard it somewhere. So not having done that properly, I think maybe that is the reason why, since I didn't supplement what the statin interferes with, I think that's the reason that I'm having problems now. I'm 77, and the stents were 5 years ago, roughly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you and I are contemporaries. I turned 77 this summer, so I'm only 76 now, just a kid. But, you know, Yeah, when if anybody's on a statin, they need to be on coenzyme Q10 with it because
that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, and the symptom, many of the symptoms you're having are the classic side effects of statin therapy.
And beta blockers.
Yes. Mm. The beta blockers make you fatigued. They can trigger depression. They slow your heart rate down. They limit your ability to exercise. The statins can give you fuzzy thinking, muscle aches, weakness.
You know, classic symptoms of depression. And then when you go back, they put you on an antidepressant.
That's right.
Yeah, and I didn't want to go there. And I didn't want to go metformin or Jardians or anything like that. So I've been trying to do better as far as my diet, but it hasn't been successful.
Yeah. Well, the side effect of the statins is that it'll increase your sugar level, right?
That's right. It will. So.
Right.
And but the metformin, on the other hand, is an interesting, essentially anti-aging drug. You know, we started on metformin back in the late 1950s for people with diabetes. But what we found is that metformin helped those people with type 2 diabetes live 5 years longer than people that weren't diabetic, which is just the opposite of what had always been found. So it's, if I'm going to pick a drug for a healthy person, metformin is a pretty good one. Anyway, we have to take a break.
Yep, stay right there,
we'll be
Lena.
Right back here.
Yes, Lena, stay there. We're going to talk some more because we want to help you. That's why Dr. Mixon started the Longevity Clinics, because wasn't happy with the 7 minutes of information you get from your doctor. Yeah, we want to treat you better, take care of you, get you healthier, and aging well. We'll be right back. Stay there. Leading Edge Medicine continues.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
And we're back, because we want you to see clearly. We want you to be clear, stronger, and faster. And what else, Dr. Mixon?
Leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier.
You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and we are talking with Lena from Kent. Hi there, Lena.
Hello, Lena.
Yes.
Hi. Glad you're back.
Yep, we're back.
Let me make a comment about what I have observed. Since the medications that I've been on since I started in 2018, my hair, skin, and nails are all in the tank. I've got crepey skin, which I didn't have. My nails are above the end of my finger. They're not even reaching the end of my finger because they're thin and they bend. Mm-hmm. And my hair also, the circumference of my hair is at least 50% smaller than it used to be.
It's miniaturizing, yeah. Mm. Each hair follicle is getting smaller. Yep.
It's as if my blood flow were terrible. I'm thinking that's the reason. I don't know.
That may well be part of it, yep. You know, what's happening to you is common, and it is more common on people who have cardiovascular issues and have to go on statins. And part of it is due to the statins themselves, and part of it is just due to the fact that you've used your arteries for a long time. The blood flow is not as good as it used to be, and all of your end organs are responding to that restricted flow. So, you know, what we need to do is
helpful thing that will help with the same, that will do something similar to what the statin does that I can add to.
Yes, and that's a subject that I actually have wanted to bring up today, but because I had a guy who tried to call in on the show last week, apparently, and he sent me an email and said, you know, can you tell me how to lower my cholesterol without using statins?
Okay, yeah.
So
you sent the email to Lena, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
I sent it to Lena, and I said, you know, tell him to listen to the show, and I'll try and address it this week.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you this, and then he can be listening in maybe. When you were young, your cholesterol, which is the mother hormone, all of your other major hormones are made out of cholesterol, okay? So pregnenolone, dehydroepiandrosterone, progesterone, testosterone, estradiol, cortisol, they're all made out of cholesterol. And so they're the it's the substrate your body uses. And so when you were young, all your end organs, your adrenal glands, your ovaries and so on, were able to take that cholesterol and turn it into the hormones you needed. But as you've aged, all of those end organs have been declining in function. Your ovaries don't work worth a hoot anymore in your 60s. And, you know, neither do your adrenal glands. And so what you're happening is you're not making the hormones you used to make at the levels you used to make them. And so your body says, hey, I'm being starved of these hormones. All of these critical hormones I need are going away. And so it starts ramping up your cholesterol in an effort to drive those reactions. But it doesn't work because you drive your cholesterol up and the hormones aren't rising. And the reason they're not rising is your ovaries are toasted. They can't work anymore. What we're finding is if we give people back the hormones that they're trying to make, if we get your testosterone, your progesterone, your pregnenolone, your dehydroepiandrosterone, all of these things back where they belong, all of a sudden, controlling your cholesterol becomes much easier.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you get placed on a statin, now you're diminishing the hormones even more.
Right, because now you don't have the substrate necessary to make the hormones, and you've got old organs.
5 years of doing myself a detriment. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So, you know, what we find is that if we give you all those hormones your body is trying to make, not just one of them, all of them, all of a sudden you don't need to drive that hormone, that cholesterol so high. Oh, mommy hormone can take a break. All right. So, yes.
That's good news.
So if you become a patient, we will do all of that for you. We will measure 8 different hormones in your system. We will try to move them back where they were when you functioned at your best. And yes, some damage has been done. I mean, you're 63 and the damage of having low levels has done some hurt to you, but we'll do our best to compensate for that and to repair that damage as much as we possibly can.
Wow, that is just exciting. I do not have computer access. I never was any good at it. So when I call 86 Young in order to choose which location and finance...
Just tell them where you live.
Yeah, they'll tell you. Because, Lena, you're in Kent, so you're probably going to want to go to either – probably our Kirkland facility is going to be closest to you.
I'm kind of wanting to choose the one that is the easiest driving for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I could avoid freeways.
Yep, and they can help you with that.
Yeah, and in which case Tacoma might be your spot.
That might be easier, Tacoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let me make sure that you've got the right number. It's 866-86-YOUNG.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Very
so
good. And
I
they will give you all the help you need. Yes.
They're
so good. Okay. They'll do it for you. They'll help you out.
All righty. Thank you so very much. You are wonderful.
Oh, Lena, we hope to see you here at Longevity. All right. I'm going to take a quick call here with Charlie from Buckley. We'll at least get his question and then take a quick break and come back and talk with him. Charlie from Buckley, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
How can we help?
Okay. Who's the best doctor to see? The best doctor. I mean, can I put it, go on my phone and... For a person maybe suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, forgetfulness.
Well, dementia is a serious issue, and it depends on which form of dementia you've got or that person has. hopefully it's not, you know, hopefully it's not one of the overt dementias. They're just getting what we call MCI, minimal cognitive impairment. If it's overt dementia, it's essentially not reversible. There's things we can do to slow it down. There's things we can do to get you some marginal improvement for a while. But if it's progress to that point, we're in real trouble. Tell me a little bit about the problem. What's going on?
Yeah, it's my wife. He's forgetting things, and she's pretty good remembering things in the past.
Yeah.
But I'll let her know about a doctor's appointment and or my surgery I just had or anything like that. And she, what day is that? I go, why don't you have a little book and write things down? I'm not going to do that. But she also does a lot of, gets really upset at me for nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, the thing is, she has a doctor's appointment with her, primary care, physician on Tuesday, and we're going to ask. The thing is, is she going to send me to a geriatric physician
or a neurologist?
Mm, yeah.
Would be more likely.
Yes. Stay right there, Charlie. We are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk more about this, like the first steps to finding out and getting an actual diagnosis of
yes.
what this is. We'll be back with Leading Edge Medicine. Charlie, you stay right there. And Joanne, we have you in queue as well. Leading Edge Medicine continues in a moment. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette. Hi there. So glad you've joined us on the show. Dr. Samira Umat in the studio and Dr. Jerry Mixon. We're talking with Charlie about the first steps of diagnosing what's going on with the memory loss and the moods, perhaps.
You use the term dementia, which is a specific diagnosis that says that someone can no longer carry out the activities of daily living. They can't do the things they have to do to take care of themselves. And that is the definition of dementia. You can't get to the grocery store and back without getting lost. If you can't get yourself dressed and fix your own meals and eat and so on, then that now falls into the definition of dementia. And that usually begins long, long before people get to that level. I mean, that's a serious decline in capacity. And so there's several different things to think about. First of all, there is normal age-related cognitive decline. Nobody at 50, 60, 70 years old processes information as fast as they did at 18. Mm-hmm. Our processing slows down progressively with age. And it's very noticeable even by age 40. You don't multitask like you used to. You don't answer things as quickly as you used to. There's about 12 different aspects of cognition that we want to look at. And there are tests for each one of those. And we can send you off to have this testing done either in person or it can even be done on a computer.
Mm.
For a very modest price that'll tell you where you are. Then there is a step called minimal cognitive impairment. And that's when you're not demented, but you're not functioning as well as is normal for your age. And I should specify age and gender. Men and women go downhill mentally at different rates in different parts of our ability. Men lose spatial orientation first. Women lose their verbal skills faster. So at any given age, at any given gender, we now know what you should be able to do and not do, and we can test for that. If you're below that, but you're not overtly demented, you can still live independently, then we call that minimal cognitive impairment, MCI. And at that level, there's things we can do to help. There's one simple compound called acetylcholine, 500 milligrams a day, 250 twice a day, although you can take even 500 twice a day, improves the acetylcholine, the neurotransmitter in your brain, so that you now have more power to send those neuron signals back and forth between your brain cells. And we've got studies showing that you can slow or even stop that decline for 6 months to a year just with acetylcholine, even with the MCI. Once you get all the way to down to the point that you're wearing your pajamas to church, we know that, you know, there's not a whole lot to be done except to try to slow the decline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no, she can dress herself, make food, takes a shower herself.
Okay.
She takes it easy and things like that.
Then there's things we could probably do for her to at least stop for the decline for a while and maybe even improve her function for some period of time. So,
sure. Yeah, no, she's 83 and a half. So.
Yeah, the earlier we get them in, the better we can do. The more damaged the brain is, the less we can fix.
So when it comes to like a geriatric doctor?
No.
Geriatricians
are basically specialized in simplifying and rationalizing your medication lists.
Really?
Very few of them actually handle this sort of problem.
Okay. So I got another comment. You have not a co-host, but he's on like from 6 to 9 and he has throat problems. I wonder if Dr. Samira's husband could check this man out.
Well, I don't know.
He's not on our show, so we're not familiar with him.
He's Tom Turner. He's on the earlier KVI.
Oh, okay. And, yeah. We're not familiar. Yeah.
Right. Well, but years ago, I worked in the mine and the ground, and I believe the diesel got to me, and I was walking around talking like Wolfman Jack. And so I used my screaming vocal cords to talk.
Yes.
And so I had an operation that the guy says, it's like elephant skin. And he removed that.
That sounds like that guy needs a, well, if he talks for a living, you would think he would be right into the doctor. I see one quite often to make sure I'm okay. You know what, Charlie? We've got one more call to get to and only 5 minutes left of our show.
So
we're going to have to run.
Yeah, but mention when you have the second show on. You don't mention that. So a lot of people would probably not like that. Thank you very much.
Okay,
bye-bye. Well, that's a whole different show, and we have never met the guy. So. So somebody will talk to him, I'm sure. Joanne, thank you for waiting. Let's talk to you. You had a hernia question. We spent a lot of time at the beginning of our show. Hopefully you were able to hear some of that.
I did, and I
was wondering,
because that was addressing a man, how about a woman? I've got an inguinal hernia that I'm going to have repaired on the 8th of March. And I'm hoping that this is my second hernia. I had colon cancer and part of my colon removed, and as a result of the surgery, I had a hernia, and because I got active too soon, I had to have it repaired twice. And I'm hoping that this inguinal hernia repair won't be as difficult a healing time as that other one.
Well, yeah, for one thing, it's rare for a woman to really get an inguinal hernia.
I was told that.
Yeah. Usually women get femoral hernias, further down a different opening.
Hmm.
But, if it's truly an inguinal hernia, it should not be a difficult repair. In fact, you've had colon cancer, though, and part of partial colectomy. Darn. Right. I say, in a woman with a pristine belly that nobody's been in before.
Yeah, and they've been in there 3 times.
Yeah, you can usually just drop in with a laparoscope and do this, with a little puncture wounds. But with your previous surgery, you've got a lot of scar tissue and adhesions that'll have to be worked with. Yeah, it's going to be a tougher surgery.
I am a longevity patient, so I'm hoping that helps my healing.
I hope too, young lady.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you're ready for the surgery, come in and talk to your doc. Or have the doc call and talk to me, and let's see, so I can look at your records and see what I can maybe do to tune you up before your surgery.
Well, it's going to be March 8th.
Okay, well,
that's coming up in a couple weeks.
Coming up, all right. Mm-hmm. So, tell you what, Monday morning, either give us a call at the clinic and have your doctor, you know, give me your name and so on, and I'll go in your records, and Samara and I can see if we can figure out how we can give you your best shot at a rapid recovery, okay?
Yes.
Okay, that would be great.
That's wonderful. And Joanne, go ahead and mention you were on the radio program today, and that'll remind the doctors who we're talking with.
Okay, good. I've been on since April, so hopefully I've got some protection already.
Well, we'll do everything we can do, but I want to take a look at your records so I can customize this for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Mix.
Take care.
Oh, very good. And Joanne, you're in good hands with the doctors at Longevity. Wow, lots of different topics again today. So much good information talking about hormones, colonoscopies, and prostates, and a couple of hernia questions, one male, one female, and oof. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We will be back in the studio next week, live in the studio, and if you are liking, just like Lena called earlier, and Joanne is already a longevity patient, give us a call and make that first step of coming in for the free health analysis appointment. We want you to be the best that you can be. Make a phone call, just like Lena. 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. In fact, you can call today. Someone will get you scheduled or at least talk to you and point you in the right direction. You can also go and find out a little bit more about us by going to our website, lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. And we wish you the very best this weekend. We'll see you next month. It'll be March by the time we're back on the air. So we will see you next week. Have a great rest of your day, and thank you for listening to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics.